When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello everybody, welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Hello, Josh, my friend. You went to bed a little bit early, didn't watch the Video Game Awards live. I did. I've only had about 6 hours sleep or something, which sounds like a lot, but it's not. I just, you know, a bit ill.
What are you doing, man? Like, you could just get up early and watch it on the morning like me.
There's
like,
no
why
fun
are
in
you
that.
Putting yourself through this?
You've got to watch
you spoilers.
You've got to watch it live. It's there's a whole thing. There's a whole energy to it. If you're watching something live and you see Twitter erupt and everybody explode, and
true.
You get to see something like the perfect dark reveal or the new Mass Effect at 3 a.m. in the morning, it's a little bit more special. I'm loving it. We just thought we're pretty much going to deep dive on Mass Effect and Perfect Dark and some of the bigger announcements that came out with the Video Game Awards. But it was a hell of a show all around. So we'll just kind of touch on everything. Sort of sweep the top off. Sort of sweep the cream
Come on,
off
then.
The top of the pint. I've not had much sleep, but it's fine. And don't worry about it. And so, like, there's...
Can't tell, mate. It's all right. It's okay.
You can't
You're doing
tell.
Well.
It's all right. Yeah, so, yeah. Like, there's things to touch on, you know, from the beginning of the show. Like, Sephiroth was the character that's going to be in Smash Brothers. Back 4 Blood got shown off a full gameplay demo, which is from Turtle Rock, which is literally them just doing another Left 4 Dead.
I can't believe how much it's like Left 4 Dead, man. Like it just is Left 4 Dead, and I'm happy for that. But even,
it's
like,
spot
from
on.
Everything, from the... Even, like, some of the animations, I was like... Even that's just someone reloading an AK-47. That looks like someone reloading an assault rifle from Left 4 Dead. It was weird, but I'm here for it.
I'm here for it. I think it's just like Valve aren't doing Left 4 Dead, so at some point someone at Turtle Rock was like, well, we're going then. Fine, we'll go and do it with someone else. Also, very quick shout out, or quick mention, V's car from Cyberpunk is in Forza Horizon 4. You can get that on December the 11th. So in terms of deep dive stuff, though, Mass Effect 4 got shown off. Although it's not called Mass Effect 4, it's called Mass Effect Will Continue. Lol.
Weird title. Like, Scott,
Good.
I like Ewan this morning said it is Mass Effect William Continue, which, you know, it kind
Fantastic.
Of goes with the 3. I don't think he was up until 3 a.m., but it had the 3 a.m. vibes that
it's
it
very
deserves.
3 a.m.
100%.
Yeah, I think this thing made me tear up. This thing gave me Halo 3 Master Chief emerges from the smoke energy. I don't know, I wasn't expecting to care this much considering how much I hated Mass Effect 3 and how much of an absolute tire fire Mass Effect Andromeda was. But having gone back through the Mass Effect trilogy, I'm halfway through 2 at the minute. It's always been one of my favourite franchises of all time, and it's in this teaser, they know exactly how to tease it out. Like, you know, they do the whole thing where they show that we're back in the Milky Way, you get to see Earth, you get to see the Citadel blown to smithereens, assumedly the mass relays are as well, which confirms that we're continuing directly on from Mass Effect 3. You get to see the new ship, which is called the Mudskipper, according to the key art. And some people data mine some of the artwork that's already out there to show that the ship's called the Mudskipper. And then we get to see the N7, a piece of N7 armor. And then it's revealed that it's actually Liara who's holding it. It could be another Asari, but I'm pretty sure it's Liara, being that she's one of the only characters that could live long enough to, you know, this could be a massive jump into the future, hundreds of years, and she'd still be alive.
Yeah.
Seeing Liara, though, just made me tear up. I wasn't expecting that. But it was the combination of the lovely little piano stabs. The music sort of stops. You see Liara do a nice little smile, and then a few little piano stabs, and then Mass Effect. So there's a little bit more in terms of we get to see there's a Krogan, a Salarian. Some people are saying it's an Angoran in the middle for the other race. Could be human, could be Turian. What do you think of the whole reveal?
Oh, dude, like you said, it was so lovely. It had that Halo 3 kind of vibe. Like, even though the Mass Effect franchise hasn't been in the best place for this entire generation,
no,
you can't undermine just how important, like, those first three games, like, were, 1 and 2 especially, and how much love there is for that universe, those characters, and that iconography. So you get a trailer like this, which firmly puts you back in that universe. It brings up those old, you know, like the shattered Citadel, the shattered Mass Relays, the bit of N7 armor, like you said, and bringing back Liara. It just hit every single note. Combined that with, like, yeah, like the luscious score behind it, and I was getting goosebumps, man. Like, I'm so here for this. Just smashed everything there. I'm being so excited about it. I'm so here for it. And I didn't know if I wanted them to continue the story of Mass Effect 3 or continue in that world because of how divergent the endings can be, but. Like, after 7 years away from it or whatever, I'm ready to return. I'm ready to go back and revisit it and build upon what that established. Like, I have no idea where it's going to go. I have no idea how Liara factors into it. But it was so cool to see it back, man. So cool.
Because I'm trying to think, in Mass Effect 3, like, obviously, Morden could die. You know, like, one of the ways that you could take that character when he goes to try and cure the Genophage, you could shoot him in the back if you're a big old piece of S. And I think that he can die anyway, even when he goes to... Basically, I'm trying to think which crew members could survive. I think Liara, age-wise, is one of the only ones that could. But if they want to jump hundreds of years into the future and make it so that whichever ending you picked doesn't necessarily matter... you know, they can just... I assume that they'll have characters having conversations about what happened. Do you think they'll let us pick something at the beginning to say, like, well, what state is the galaxy in?
Maybe. I don't know. Mm. It potentially threatens to undermine... It sounds so hard. I mean, like, we were talking about when they announced that they were continuing Mass Effect and there were rumours swirling that it was going to be a proper continuation. I mean, we were saying, like, how difficult would that be? It was difficult for them enough to factor in the decisions made across the original trilogy. So to take something as big as the ending of 3 and the three different kind of ways that could go with the Synergy Control or Destroyer, whatever, like, it almost feels like they would bite off too much. I'm sure they will factor in some decisions. I'm sure they'll let you kind of decide on what journey your Liara went through or whatever. But something as big as the world state, I don't know. Maybe that would be just way too much to bite off. Maybe they need some kind of clean slate, even if they are continuing it to some extent, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of having one of the original crew members letting you sort of have those conversations of, like, well, what happened? And as Liara, maybe you can... I don't even know who you're going to play as, but I mean, like, you know, with Liara in those conversations, maybe you can choose to mold the galaxy around a conversation you have with her that sort of dictates what happened in regards to the Synergy ending, the Control ending, whatever it was. I don't know. They need to get away from that stuff as much as possible whilst also respecting the people who did like that ending, or at least like the ramifications of the way that stuff went. But yeah, super promising stuff. Obviously, it's really early in development because they don't even have a name for it. It's just there's another Mass Effect coming and it just says we'll continue. So I don't know whether they're going to go down the numbered route or whatever. We'll keep an eye on it. There's obviously the big elephant in the room is that it's BioWare. Their track record has been god-awful for this entire generation. Casey Hudson has now left, who was the executive producer on the original trilogy. However, you know, he left saying that he thinks the franchise is in good hands, and it's not like there's not other veteran staff members on the new team, like Mark Walters or I forget the names of the other coders and stuff that have stuck around. So maybe there's potential. Maybe it can be done.
I can't believe how much hope I have for it, Scott Taylor. I didn't expect to see a trailer at the Game Awards because we just got that tease you know, last month or whatever. I didn't expect them to have something. But it seems like with this and Dragon Age 4, even though there is a lot of things going on behind the scenes, it's almost like they've announced these two games to be like, look, we're doing the stuff that you want. You know, we're going to do it well.
Alive,
and hopefully...
Guys.
Yeah, and hopefully that does turn into some really good games, because I thought the Dragon Age 4 trailer as well was also really promising, at least for me.
I'm gonna fly through some other stuff. We'll get to Dragon Age in a little bit. One of the other massive things was Perfect Dark coming back.
Yes.
Which was revealed in the coolest way. It was almost like, because they showed off that the development team called The Initiative, which were always working on another Xbox exclusive game, and put together from veteran devs from various different studios under the Xbox brand. And then they sort of showed something that I thought looked a lot like Horizon. It was sort of like, I think the location was like Marrakesh or something, but it zoomed in from outer space or whatever, went down to this place, and it was kind of this like pseudo-futuristic space age type world. And then when they eventually get to like target locked or agent found or whatever, and you hear the voiceover say that it's Joanna Dark, and I freaked out at that point. Because I was like, oh my god, like of course that's what it is, of course that's what you were working on. And so yeah, Perfect Dark is coming back. I don't know how the hell they make that game feel like Perfect Dark in a completely different climate. Like, you know, that original game is obviously the most iconic version, or the iconic one. Not that many people care about Perfect Dark Zero. But that late 90s feel of first-person shooting is so specific to GoldenEye and Perfect Dark because it came from Rare. What's your thoughts on the old PD?
Well, Perfect Dark is a weird one for me, Scott, because it's a little bit slightly before my time. Like, for me, the first Perfect Dark game I played was Perfect Dark Zero on the Xbox 360. Ooh, but even then, I popped seeing this because the concept looks so cool. The idea of, you know, jumping into the future, having this world that's been destroyed and then kind of like partially rebuilt or at least supported by these corporations, like it mentions in the trailer. You know, seeing Joanna Dark again at the very end, you know, those kind of cool first-person action sequences. It didn't show you too much about how the game will play or anything like that. And I am kind of wary about how you can, you know, adapt Perfect Dark in 2020, like you said. And I'm also wary about this being touted as, you know, that this quadruple A experience or whatever. But I mean, as a trailer, as an introduction to this project, like, yeah, it ticked all the boxes for me and it made me excited about something that I might not have been otherwise, you know? Mm-hmm.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare tri-term medical plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
Speaking of ticking boxes or making us excited, oh my god, Glenn Schofield is the dude that they brought on to introduce this, Jeff Keighley mentioned as being like an ex-Call of Duty developer, or maybe I heard that wrong or something, but Glenn Schofield is the creator of Dead Space, and his new game is called The Callisto Protocol, which just looks like a mix. I got proper The Suffering vibes on PS2, It's like there's going to be a fraction of people who played The Suffering, but The Suffering was like this demon-infested prison, and you played as this dude called Torq, and Torq spelled T-O-R-Q-U-E. You were just, you know, this whole idea of this infected prison, you're trying to survive, but you're also a con and you're trying to get out and everything. The Callisto Protocol was like this weird space prison, and then there was like a dude in his cell that mutated into like the thing, and he killed the dude that you were following at the beginning of the teaser. It just looked pretty good.
It really did. Good. I mean, they were billing it as the scariest game ever made or whatever. They want to make the scariest thing that you've ever played. Mm-hmm. And after that trailer, Scott, I absolutely buy it, because that thing genuinely looked, like you said, like a mix between The Suffering and The Thing. You know, it had that kind of grotesque alien body horror while also having this really interesting premise about, you know, playing as like these prisoners or whatever. And I want to find out more. I want to see what it, you know, looks like to actually play. But like, there was way more surprising things here than I ever expected there to be, if that makes sense. Like, there was no Elden Ring or any of Silent Hill or anything, but the stuff that they did show off was really interesting. All of the new IPs that they showed off were really interesting, and this was a genuine highlight for me, not just because of the pedigree that it has going into it, but because of the concept and how it actually looks in this first trailer.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, tons of new IP. I mean, I think, like, obviously Jeff Keighley knows to balance that stuff properly. Like, it's not all going to be big expected sequels and things like that. Like, you can tick those boxes. It's great to see Mass Effect back. It's great to see Dragon Age. But I love the amount of screen time he gave to just new IPs, like new indie titles and new things that are coming as well. And we'll fly through the next few. Evil Dead the Game is something that popped you. You said this might be your game of the show.
Right, I know, that sounds ridiculous, because it just looks like a co-op kind of like horde-based multiplayer shooter. Mm-hmm. But like, I'm a huge Evil Dead fan, in getting Bruce Campbell back, getting those models on point, I genuinely thought it looked like visually really impressive. Getting characters from the Ash vs. the Evil Dead TV series in there, like, as an Evil Dead fan, I want to play this so much, and it might be like the worst 5 out of 10 experience, but I'm going to be there day one, Scott. You mark my words, it's going to be installed on my PlayStation, and I'm going to be playing the crap out of it.
I didn't vibe with Evil Dead. I watched the second one, which is the first one, and I just thought it was just all over the place, and it wasn't for me. But I know a lot of people love. I love what's called Bruce Campbell more for his cameos in Spider-Man. That's my reference point for Bruce Campbell. But the thing that I'm feeling that's in so many trailers now is the arbitrary, like, oh, you think it's going to be story focused, and then four characters stand into frame together, and it's like, oh, it's another squad based thing. Like, I guess that's just what we're doing now, regardless of what the IP is.
I know what you mean. I do think Evil Dead kind of adapts to that a bit more because, you know, especially Ash vs. the Evil Dead is kind of like this road trip where it's just this kind of action sequence after action sequence and this kind of gory chaos. And I think you can get that with kind of like four players having all of these deadites swarming and you fending them off with chainsaws and boomsticks and all that stuff. I think it works kind of well in that framing of mindless chaos. I don't think you could do like a story-driven single-player game. You know, I think that would get a little bit stale. You could maybe just do like a third-person action game or something. But we've kind of had those in the past. We've had okay to middling to crap attempts at it before. And I do think it's quite ballsy of this game just to call itself Evil Dead the Game.
Just
when
wiping out
been,
the PlayStation 2 games.
Yeah,
didn't even
Evil
know.
Dead Evil Dead games before then. But, you know, I thought, I don't know whether it's just because I'm a big Evil Dead fan or what, but this to me is kind of what I imagine Friday the 13th was to Friday the 13th fans, I guess. Hopefully a bit more polished, though.
It reminded me a little bit of the World War Z game, which was like was surprisingly tight. Like the World War Z game, all the Horde tech and everything like that seemed to come together pretty well.
Scott Telford, it's made by the same people who did World War Z, which is why I think it's going to go down that same route, essentially. But I'm, like I said, I'm here for that. World War Z was kind of like all right. I know Ben Roy quite liked it when it came out.
He's a sucker for the zombies. Anything that lets him shoot a lot of zombies, he'll be totally fine. Next thing down, and like I said, we can fire through the rest of these. Returnal got a tiny gameplay demo, but at least it was in-engine. It was gameplay. Now coming March 19th seems to be its release date that's locked in. Returnal, I thought the gameplay for that looked a hell of a lot more chaotic than the initial tone, the initial sort of, you know, space survival horror type vibe that I got from the initial reveal. Whereas in the gameplay from last night, it was just full on. You're in like a small arena full of enemies just blasting the living hell out of everything.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was partly to be expected for me because it's from Housemarque, who did a bunch of great kind of like side-scrolling shooting games, Bullet Hell and stuff. Yeah, exactly like that. And you can kind of see that style adapted here to a more third-person, over-the-shoulder combat style, and I like sort of zipping around, you know, firing off these shots, fighting against these enemies. It did kind of jar with what we'd seen before, but maybe they can blend those two styles really well because you don't really necessarily need it to be action all the time. You can blend that in with kind of these more subtler or slower sequences where you're kind of taking in the atmosphere and you're exploring this place or whatever. It didn't blow me away, but it looked really solid for me.
So much of their stuff has been like particle effects the game, which is gorgeous, but like it looks great. I'm curious what the hell they do with like a full-on bigger budget and more, like, more polygonal models and then blowing them up in a million different ways that just showers the screen in particle effects. I think that could be really fun. Housemarque do make really good arcade-y shooters. I'm sure they cancelled their Battle Royale game as well because that was like a direction they were going to go in with all the money that they got from the 2D stuff.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened with that. I remember it being announced
and
then... Right, cool, okay.
Because it was like, they were going to go down that route. It was that whole thing where they showed a teaser and all the soldiers had like swords. And it was like, yeah. I guess you guys could do this. Like, that's the thing everyone does. But they were also out there saying that no one plays 2D arcade stuff anymore. So they're going to do something else. So I don't know. Hopefully it pays off. Returnal seems like it has a nice amount of momentum behind it. And at least we know that it's coming in March. The thing after that was Dragon Age, which I wanted to see a lot more. The kingdom that they showed, I thought looked a lot like the Disney castle in the Disney logo. Like that sort of
now you
like
mention it, I didn't think about that, but now you mentioned it, yeah, kind of.
I like Dragon Age fine. I don't follow it like I do Mass Effect. But the teaser itself, like, you know, there was, even though they said it wasn't gameplay at the start, it then segued into lots of environmental shots. And we saw like, you know, various parts of that. I don't know if that's a new kingdom that they showed, but like, it seems like it's coming together.
Yeah, I'm kind of like with you. Like, I'm not a huge, huge Dragon Age fan. I really enjoyed Inquisition when that came out. But I like what they're doing with the story, or at least what it seems like they're doing with the story, and they're kind of pulling away. You know, in the trailer's narration, it was like, you're not going to be someone with a magic hand like you were in Inquisition. You're not going to be kind of fulfilling this prophecy. You're going to be this someone who doesn't usually take the hero role in these games, which is really cool for me because I'm not really a big fan of the kind of chosen one prophecy kind of style of narrative or anything like that. I like it when you have more agency and you have more decisions, and I think this is a cool way to move on from that a little bit and give the player, hopefully, more options and more agency in the story in a different way.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, on the BioWare side, like, Dragon Age, you know, also lost one of their key creative members, Mark Darrow, who's been with Dragon Age, or with BioWare, like, for almost 20 years or something. So kind of like Mass Effect, it's like both of these franchises, it's really going to be kind of like, what's the phrase, like, live or die, ride or die?
Yeah, I think so. It's make or break, you know, yeah.
That's make or break's the one I want, not ride or die. That's Fast and Furious. Do you know why that's on my mind? Because Vin Diesel is in Arc 2. Just to sort of get through some of the remaining announcements. Vin Diesel got this ridiculous over-the-top trailer thing, which I thought was him, his studio again, because he founded a video game studio called Tygon. And I thought that was going to be his grand return, where I was like, this is the dumbest Vin Diesel type thing ever. Like, of course, he's a tribal warrior punching a T-Rex. And then he makes it, you know, he escapes to somewhere that then starts to rip off Horizon, and there's all this tech underground and everything. But then it's revealed that it's actually Ark 2. So they're doing, I guess they're fleshing the Ark franchise out to be a little bit more like Monster Hunter in regards to sort of cross-branding stuff. Like, we're getting an Ark animated show alongside Ark 2, the next game. I've not played any of the Ark games. I don't know if you have. But
no. I don't know. No, it's a complete blind spot. But I thought Vin Diesel looked really good. You know, that was something. I enjoyed that.
He's got a spear. He's got tattoos and stuff. He seems cool. But in terms of, obviously we covered the biggest announcements towards the start of it. The other stuff to throw in is that Disco Elysium is coming to PS4/PS5 in March 2021, which is something that me and Josh, I jumped off the seat when this got announced, because I thought they were going to say it was available at the end of the show and they didn't. It's not available until March, but Disco Elysium just swept the Game Awards across 2019 and just seems to be one of the most recommendable RPGs there is. But we've been waiting for it to come to consoles. Open Roads is the next game from Fulbright, and the guy that did Gone Home and Tacoma, which has a really awesome art style where the characters are sort of drawn, hand-drawn 2D style, but the environments are in 3D, which I just love the idea of that. I want more games to experiment with unique art styles, you know, stuff like Octopath Traveler, like start meshing different things that we're used to, 2D and 3D, and see what you can get. And I also want to give a shout out to Scavengers as well, which I forget the name of the new studio that's putting that together. The game is called Seasons. The studio is called Scavengers. That thing looks incredible, which is just, it's very much a teaser, but it's kind of this like gorgeous cel-shaded looking game where you're playing as literally like a traveler going between different parts of the world, just taking in different aspects of culture and wildlife and appreciating everything as much as you can. That thing looks stunning. But overall, what did you think of the Game Awards? I thought that was a pretty good show.
Yeah, I thought it was a really strong selection. You know, the big hitters that were there hit big. And those smaller games, like, there are a bunch of titles that I'm really looking forward to now. Like that, the game you just said, I've already forgotten the name of, the Traveller one.
Seasons,
that's it. That looked absolutely gorgeous from a pure art perspective.
Yeah.
And stuff like, you know, the new horror game from the Dead Space creators. It just has a nice spread, Scott, that's what I'll say. Like, like a lovely cheese board. It had a nice spread.
Yeah. Like a fine brie. I think it was, I mean, for me, this is one of the best Game Awards that Jeff's put together so far. I think, he is a bit susceptible to giving in, like, you know, saying yes to every single promotional opportunity there is. But I feel like it was worse last year. I think that he got a better balance this year, even though a lot of the awards, some of them were done during the pre-show, which is just crazy.
Yeah.
And then some of the awards, it's like 20 minutes of reveals and stuff like that, and then just a sidebar of like, oh, by the way, this thing won Best Action Game. Anyway, there's another trailer over here. And it's sort of like, it's a little bit scattershot. But overall, I thought it was a great show. For now, though, for me and you, this is our last in-person, on-camera news thing. And then we're done for 2020, I know.
It's crazy. This is the last thing. Yeah, my last news video with you, Scott. My last video of the day, I think. And I just, before I go, I don't want to get too mushy. You know what I mean? I don't want to get too mushy. But I want to say, you know, I'm really, really thankful to be able to do this with you, especially every single day. Because while I like doing all of the content, like, this has been incredibly grounding to do every day. Like, to wake up during this hell year to be able to do this with you. For everyone, like, tuning in, I'm very, very grateful. Very, very thankful. It's been a total joy. And I can't wait to bring the news lads back again next year.
Mate, it's been lush. I think of all the things across 2020, obviously we saw each other in person for the first time after like 7 months when we did the Resident Evil stuff. From across the room, we sort of did a distanced hug. Can't wait to hug you, mate. That's one of the things I'm looking forward to. It's on my list of things I can do after we get the vaccine and stuff. But yeah,
it's on my Christmas list, man.
It's on the 2021 New Year's resolution is just have a hug, just be able to have a hug. But yeah, same back to you, man. I think we've kept each other going, and I think everyone who's followed along, obviously we've managed to spin it off onto the news lad stuff on the podcast side. But it's been lush. It's been lush just checking in every morning, and we'll just keep it going. We're pretty much signing off in regards to 2020 video news stuff. We are going to try and pre-record some audio stuff, so, you know, keep an eye on the podcast feed towards Christmas. But for now, Ivan Scott from whatculture.com.
I mean, Josh from whatculture.com.
And we'll catch you next time in 2021.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.